Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. O Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're thankful, Lord, for the day. We know this is a time of year that's called Thanksgiving, Lord, and truly we have so much to be thankful for, both physically and spiritually, Lord. Lord, in every way, you bless your people daily. And Lord, we come at the appointed time, Lord, that you might feed us and bless us once again, Lord, in the spiritual things, that you might draw us and guide us in all truth, in all revelation, Lord, and that we could fulfill the scriptures, in that you said that the true worshipers would worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, you're the only one that can bring us into that place. You're the only one that can invite us into your presence, Lord, into the kingdom of God. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day and this hour, for this revelation. May you bless each one here. Bless those that are not able to be here this morning, Lord. Lord, that you would be with them, strengthen them, guide them. And Lord, for Brother Richard, Lord, we pray you would just continue to give healing and strength to him, Lord. And Brother Goomba on the mission field, that you would bless him, Lord. The need that Sister Emily sent in this morning, that, Lord, that you would give him wisdom and guidance in all things. Lord, as we ask your blessings upon him, Lord, your traveling mercies, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Good to see each one of you. And we just thank the Lord for the day, the hour, and how Sister Emily let us know they were out of town visiting with some family. And so we want to remember them while they're out and as they travel, that the Lord will just give them traveling mercies and be with them. And also for Brother Goomba, every day. I know you're praying for him, so we appreciate that. And for Brother Richard, Sister Edith sent us a picture last night. We shared he was putting his own shoe on. And so you might think that's not much, but that's really big. That's really big. Yeah. And so, and then he had a brace. They had a brace on his right side. And so that's just real good progress. And so we thank God for those things. And so we thank God. This has been a busy time for us. We have a house full of. I slept on the couch last night, and she sleeps on the couch some nights. And so it's just, but we only get to see some of them once a year, and so it's just a good time. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have. And my mom will be going back with them now in just a few days, and so. We ask you to continue to pray for her. She's going down in her mental state. She gets confused real easy. Sometimes she don't know where she's at or what she's doing, and so it's really hard. And what's even harder is we're all headed that way. Right. We're all headed that way, and so. We know that's the appointed way that we're going to leave this place. Amen. And so we want to have all things ready. We want to be prepared. And now on Wednesday, we talked a little bit about the love of God and the love of the world. And so Brother Branham says that scripture, he uses it so much. He repeats it over and over and over. And so it's even in here this morning. Without even trying, it's there. But I want to talk today about the soul. And my the Lord gave me some quotes on Wednesday, right before the service, for what I thought was going to be today's message on the prophet went to hell. He went to hell. He visited hell. He visited heaven. Jesus went into hell. Right. He went into heaven. He delivered the captive, and he went and preached to the souls that were could not be saved. They couldn't be saved. They had already, in their day and age, they had rejected the prophet of their day. They had rejected the word of God, the revelation for their day. They had rejected it. So now, but there was coming a time that the proof of that was going to be made manifest. And so he went and he told them, I'm the one. I'm the one. I did it. I'm the one who was prophesying through Moses. I prophesied through Noah. I prophesied through Jeremiah. Every one of these prophets, that was me. That was me that was speaking. That was me that was trying to get your attention and tell you what I wanted you to do in your day and age. And so God has a way. And the Bible is God's way. And the Bible reveals to us who God is. It reveals his characteristics. It reveals the way that he acts. And, you know, and I know every one of us has had this happen, and especially in your family, and even friends that are close together. There's times when Michael and I are working or doing something, and he can know sometimes exactly what I would do without even asking me. He wouldn't even have to ask me or say I wasn't there. He would know what I would do. I know what he would do. My wife, the same way. Your wife, your children. You know them so good that even it could be good or bad. It could be in doing wrong. It could be doing the right thing. You know how they think, and you know how they act. And so, you know, you're teaching them. And so sometimes, I told this one time a while back, but one time my dad told me I wanted to go over where I was visiting him in the summer. And I was there for a couple weeks, and they had them ball games over here, and they had a concession. They had the concession stands, and I wanted one of those snow cones. I wanted one of those snow cones. I loved those things. It was just ice, you know, with sugary liquid on it. And I wanted one. And so I came in and I asked, I told him, I said, I want to go over there and get one. I have money. And he said, no. He said, we're fixing to eat supper. He said, you can go later. And so he said, no, you just wait. We'll eat and then you can go have that. And so I went right straight out the door. I walked right straight across the street. I walked right straight to the concession stand, and I got one. And I turned around, getting my first bite of it, and I turned around, and I'm facing my dad standing right there. He followed me right over there. He knew. He knew I was going to do wrong. He knew what I was going to do. And so we do that by having, you know, living together, raising together, all of those things. My point is this, is that what we are learning about God. God has been revealing himself. He's revealing himself. And so that's why I say that this, in the Bible, and I know that I've been really kind of maybe hard, and you some might even think that, well, he don't even believe the Bible. I do believe the Bible. And the thing about it is, most people, that's my point. Most people that say they believe the Bible over the message, they don't.
That's right.
They absolutely don't, because they don't know God. They don't understand God. They think because they've read the Bible, they do. They think because they know some Bible verses or some Bible stories or something, they think, well, I know all about God, and I know it said that Paul said this, and so there's nothing else. So, but if they knew the nature of God, they would know that in the beginning that God used a prophet. They would know that there was a time when God didn't use prophets. Is that right? There was a time when God spoke to the people, He took the children of Israel out there. He delivered them, and then he took them out there, and he began to talk. And he began to talk to the people, and they could hear, and his voice was like a thunder, and it scared the people. It terrified the people because the voice of God was so powerful that the people cried out to Moses and said, "Don't let God speak. We can't take it." And so God told the people, he told Moses, "Well have they spoken, for no longer will I talk to the people, but I will raise up a prophet, and I will speak to the people through a prophet." And so so that's what he's done. And we have thousands of years of God proving his word, that he has no other way that he's going to talk to us except through his prophet. So then all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but because it's been this way in every age, because they always believe the last prophet, but they don't believe the present prophet. So they read about, well, if we would have lived in that day, we would have believed. Is that right? Even it's in the Bible. Those words are in the Bible, and people are still saying them today. If we would have lived in Moses' day, we would believe Moses. If we had lived in Jesus' day, we would have believed Jesus. We would have. Huh? No, you wouldn't. Huh? You wouldn't have done it. Because if you can't believe the word of this day, and no man can, unless God reveals it to you. So the only reason there's anybody today who believes God is because there's a group of people on the earth that have the seed of God in them, and God's revealing himself to them. And none of the rest of the people, the rest of the people might know more about the Bible than you. They might know more about the message than you, because they can even believe the prophet. They can even claim to believe the message and quote the prophet and quote the message and have a vast wealth of knowledge, and yet not have the revelation of it. See that? That's the bottom line. It is a personal revelation, God revealing himself to you. That's what it is. So, that's the reason why you either have the love of God, and you separate yourself from the things of the world, or you love the world. And now there's nothing you can do about that, because every one of us was born with that nature. We were born with that nature, and Brother Ram said the soul is the nature of the spirit. And so I don't think I have any quotes that, yeah, I do have some quotes that says that. And there's many, and he said it before the seals, and he said it after the seals. And so I got a couple things, and I need to move along, because I want to cover some ground here. But I want to bring in some extra points that hopefully will help you. And so I know, and I was thinking about this early this morning. I was laying there on the couch, just early morning, thinking about it, and what am I going to say, and how am I going to say it, and I was just thinking that let me just read it to you. Let's start here at paragraph 71, okay? This is, now, if I have... See, if you was looking on my note here, a little map drawn out. Brother Bram's talking about, he has a little map drawn out. And what he's talking about is, he's talking about the three circles. Okay? He's talking about body, soul, and spirit. All right? Now, I want you to notice here that this is in 1962. And Brother Bram's going to say some of these things. He says them back in the 50s, way back in the 50s. He's saying basically the same thing that he's saying right here in this message here. See? Now, the human being is made up just like a grain of wheat. It's a seed. And the human being is a seed. See, physically, you're the seed of your father and mother. So we know the mother has the egg and the father has the seed. And so physically, this body is of your father and mother. That's a physical side of you, see? And the life come from the father, the pulp, from the mother, see? So you know that she took in the food that was going to feed this body and make this body, but the seed came from your father, see? See there? And the egg and the blood comes together, and in the blood cell is life. And in there it begins, develop, see, making the child. And now any seed has a shell on the outside, and the inside is pulp. Now, he's talking to farmers, okay? Any farmer knows these things. And so the problem is this later generation, they're not farmers anymore. I imagine maybe Sister Esther, when you was young, every child was raised with farming knowledge. They could, you go back 100 years ago and a young child would probably know more than some grown-ups, a lot of grown-ups today, about farming. Because that's what they were raised doing. I don't, it's even here in the U.S., it's not, you know, but you go to those next generation and it becomes removed. And so, you know, then they're not out there working on the farm every day. They're not working in the shamba every day. They're not planting and hoeing and doing all those things. Now they're in the city or doing this or doing that. Something's distracted from it. See, so we are body, soul, and spirit. And the outside, the body, the shell, the inside of that, the conscience and so forth, is the soul. And inside the soul is a spirit. And the spirit governs all the others. Right? I know you're thinking about it. Okay, so listen what he's saying. He's putting, and I should have got the board out, but maybe I'll put it up here. But he's saying the outer is the body. Then he's saying the next is the soul. And then he's saying in the middle, the inner is the spirit. That's what he's saying, right? So this, and I have more than one quote where he says this, okay? And so, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to finish reading it to you. And we're going to go after the seals, and he's going to correct it, okay? He's going to correct it. He's going to say it's body, spirit, and then soul. And what he's going to do here is he's going to tell you that the soul is controlled by five inlets. Reasoning, memory, imagination, affections, consciousness. He's going to take those five inlets, and that he's going to say that's the inlet to the soul. And then he's going to say the spirit has one inlet, and that's free will. Now, that's almost perfect to what he preached after the seals. But after the seals, he just changed that little thing. He just moved the spirit to the second and the soul to the inner. And it, now he's saying that the spirit is controlled by five elements. Memory, conscience, those things, emotions, affections, that's your love and everything. He said your love with your spirit, right? And then he brings the soul to the center and says the soul is controlled by one thing, free moral agency. Right? Okay. So now I was thinking about this earlier and I thought this, for some people, this makes them see discrepancy and this makes them doubt maybe the legitimacy of the message or of the prophet today. But to me, it does exactly the opposite. And the reason it does exactly the opposite is because Paul made it very clear in his day. The Apostle Paul in the Bible, he made it very clear in his day that the revelation that he had, and he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed to say that the revelation we have is in part. Is that what he said? He said, we see through a glass, you know, darkly, and I can see you over there, but I tell you, the details are really murky. But you can see through the glass, and you know there's something over there, you just can't get the details. That's how it was several years ago when they told me I needed glasses, and I didn't believe them, but they weren't going to give me a driver's license until I got glasses. And so I went and got glasses, and I can remember standing up there in that strip mall where Tractor Supplies at, used to be Walmart. And I put those, I was in the eye doctor's office, and I put those glasses on, and I looked across the street, and I could read the sign across the street. And I thought, wow, it had been going so slowly that I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize the depth of what I had lost. And so I knew at nighttime I had a hard time passing by a sign before I could read it. And so I knew there was something, but I didn't really think I needed glasses. At that time, I was still in that state of, I'll never need glasses. You know, you just, men, I guess some women think that way too. Maybe I get it from my mother. She still don't need help. So, but anyways, so that's there. That's there. All right, let's read this again. Is the soul, and the inside, the soul is the spirit, and the spirit governs all the others. Now, if you'll sit down when you get home and draw three little rings, see, and you'll find out that the outside body has five senses. It's contacted, see, taste, feel, smell, hear. That's the five senses to control the human body. Now, Brother Branham, that was the same before and after the seals, right? So, inside of the body is the soul, and the soul is controlled by imaginations, conscience, memory, reasons, and affections. That's the thing that controls the soul. Now, so, and that's why I sidetracked, but that I was making a point that this makes some people doubt. This makes some people doubt when when the Apostle Paul was telling the people of that day that we see in part. But there's coming a time, he said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. Right? Okay, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. The scripture tells us that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. So now Paul is telling the people of his day and speaking to the church age, is speaking into the future and into the last, all the way down to the seventh church age, and telling them now, we see through a glass darkly. But one day we're going to be seeing clearly. And when that which is perfect is come, that murkiness and that fogginess and that darkness is going to move out. It's going to be done away with. And then God is going to be revealed in His fullness, clearly, in the fullness of His Word, in the fullness of His Spirit. We're going to see Him and we're going to know Him. And we're going to know Him. That's what's happened here. If you look at these things before the seals, there's things before the seals that was not yet known. Yes, sir. And you say, well, see, so he didn't know. Well, neither did Paul. And neither did Irenaeus, and neither did Luther, and neither did Wesley. Amen. Nobody knew because God said, the Bible said, that the seventh angel was going to reveal these things. Right. That the seventh angel, the mystery of God, would be finished. So it wasn't finished in Paul's day. It wasn't finished in the church ages. It was finished when Christ took the book. Right. When He takes the book, according to the book of Revelations, and He begins to reveal. So, That's the beauty of the whole thing. So, now, this makes, let's see, 74. See, the Spirit is only has one sense. See, the Spirit has one sense, and that sense is either dominates it, is faith or doubt. That's exactly. And there's only one avenue to it, see, that's free moral agency. And you can accept doubt or you can accept faith, right? Because it's your free will, it's your free choice. You're going to choose whatever you want. And so we're going to read one more message, one more quote before the seals, and then we're going to go after the seals. And so in this other one, he comes really well on your free will, on your free moral agency. So now the only difference here now is, remember now, he's saying here, it's your spirit that is controlled by free moral agency. And after the seals, he's going to say it's the soul. See? Therefore, Satan began at the principal part. To cause the spirit of man to doubt God's word, God began at the principal part to lay His word in that spirit. There you are. That's what does it, see? Now, this is in the message. This is 1957, and this is actually older than the one we just read because the greatest battle ever fought, that was right at the opening of the seals. I mean, right before. That was in 1962. So, not too long before. Paragraph 28. Then our bodies are made of 16 different elements of this earth. So scientists tell us, potash, calcium, petroleum, cosmic light, all these elements God had the Holy Spirit to brood them together, see, mix them all together and bring forth this physical body. Amen. So that's why science, young people, they teach you that in school, that you're made up of the 16 elements of the earth. And so that's, and everything is, All creation is in those elements somewhere. All these elements, God had the Holy Spirit to brood them together. See, then our bodies laid waste upon the face of the earth before there was a living thing on earth. See, according to science, according to the word of God. See, God taken us from the dust because he said to Adam, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. So we know that's this part of it, right? Now, we were somewhere in the dust and we came from the dust. How did we get here? By eating food. Everything we eat, food, we renew our lives. Put more blood cells in us. Every time you eat, what is it? It's renewing the blood cells. And this is a great paradox and a great supernatural thing that's happening in you every day of your life. Every day of your life, there is something so amazing. It is a supernatural thing happening inside of you every day. What the human body actually consists of and what it's doing. And it wasn't made to die. Right. It was made to continually renew itself and never die. But because of the curse is the reason that it dies. But if science, when science studies the body, everything is renewing itself constantly, constantly, constantly. Though they can't explain it. So they're looking for something they can trigger. They're looking for something they can trigger to make this thing not get old, go back young again. Well, they're not going to get it. It's a curse.
That's right.
See, it's impossible for us to live outside of death, of something every day. Now, this is an argument, you know, the vegetarians, they argue it, and these different groups, they all argue it. But there's nothing you're going to eat that doesn't have to die. That's the law of God. It doesn't matter if it's an animal. It doesn't matter because if it's a plant, you can be a vegetarian. The plant still has to die.
Right.
And so in their minds, they say, well, that's going to die anyways. Well, the animal's going to die anyways too.
Yep.
It's going to die. Everything's going to die because everything's under the curse. Right. So it doesn't matter if you're eating vegetables, you know, if you're eating bread, whatever you're eating, something dies so you can live. Both physically and spiritually. That's God's way. So let's skip down a little bit to 29. And then inside of us is an immortal soul. Now, this is interesting here because even though the revelation has not yet come to the prophet to switch those two things around, this revelation is there that the soul is eternal. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
He's saying the soul is eternal back in 1957. He said back in those days that the soul is the nature of the spirit. So he had all of it was perfect. He never changed except just one detail, and that was the inlets of the spirit and the soul. The only two things he changed. All right, so inside of us is an immortal soul, a spirit that gives us the intelligence that we have. See, and tells, educates us in what we are in our personalities, and we are by that spirit that's in us. Then if this being, something has to die to take care of this so it can live. How much more, see, something has to die so this inside could live again. It's the immortal soul that lives by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only by the death, for the blood was the antidote. Cain, in his ignorance, he brought fruits of the field, the works of his hands, and many people still think that that was right. See? Think that you could do something to pay your way into heaven. Now, people, what he's saying is 100% true. And people do it without realizing it, not even thinking that they can bring money. Many would say, some do think that because if your Catholics think that, and some of those different denominational ideas are that if you can pay the priest and they can pray for you and have your sins removed. They believe that. They believe that you can pay them, give them money, and they'll pray for your ancestors, for your family members that are already dead, and get them out of hell and into heaven. But it's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. People can believe that kind of stuff and then fail to believe what God is doing in their day and age. But if this is our absolute, and it is, if this black book right here is our absolute, then it's got the basis for everything that we believe. It's the thing that tells us God is going to speak to us in this day. And bring a message to us in this day. Yes, this Bible is what tells us that. Yes, and if this Bible didn't tell us that, then we could doubt it. But because he tells us that, because he sent the messenger, because he told us thousands and thousands, not just 2,000 years ago, but way back before that. Not just the New Testament say that this messenger was coming. In the Old Testament, he said this messenger was coming. And then he said it again in the New Testament, he said it was coming. The same God, the same characteristic, the same actions that he always had, doing the same thing. All right. So, it's not by righteousness, but it's by his grace that we are saved through faith. Now, this is the part where I think most of the Christians or the Protestants don't believe, at least in word, that you could pay your way in, that you could, buy your way in. But what happens or what they get caught up in is that their righteousness is paving the way for them. Their righteousness is paying the way. Does that make sense? In other words, if I do all these good works, I'm such a good person that I'm going to be accepted in. If I do this and this and this, and unfortunately, that's where our denominational ranks fail to recognize what the scripture actually says. And the prophet come to clarify and to vindicate and confirm that what this Bible says is, thus saith the Lord. That your righteousness doesn't count. All of your good works, yeah, you should do them. If Christ is in you, you will do them. But the unbeliever and the non-elect can do the same thing and even more than you're doing. They can give more money. They can do more time, give more of their time. They can study more. They can pray more. They can do everything we can do. And they can do more of it. That's not it. That's not it. It is a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ, that he has revealed himself to you and he has vindicated your life with him, in him. Okay, let's go to leadership, 1965. I just put one little piece out of there. We read part of this on Wednesday night, but I wanted to catch a little thing here. Now look here, you are an outside person. You have five senses that contacts the outside body. And God gave you five senses not to contact him. This five senses for this outside body is not to contact God. No, there's something on the inside that you have that can contact God. Right? See? Your earthly home, see, taste, feel, smell, hear. Right? That's what you can do with this physical body. This is not your... Those outlets are not to get you to God. What's on the inside is what's in a relationship. See? Then you have a spirit on the inside of that. Now see the change from before the seals, after the seals? Right. What did Brother Branham say? That when the seals was opened, the spirit of truth, yes, the spirit of truth, who's that? That's the Holy Ghost. That's God himself. Amen. The spirit of truth has come to reveal these things.
That's right.
What we didn't know, those little details that we didn't know. See? So, you have a spirit on the inside of that has five outlets, conscience, love, see, reason, memory, imagination, affections, all of those things, see? See, five outlets that you contact the spirit world with that. But with your spirit, see? With your spirit. Now, your physical contacts the physical. and your spiritual contact, the spiritual. But inside of that, you've got a soul. And that soul is the gene that come from God. What is the soul? It's that gene of God. It's that germ of God.
That's right.
See? That came from God. In the message, modern events. Now, we realize that we're living in a tremendous time and a great time when the truths of this Bible, believers have seen that vindicated. We see that vindicated. That God has vindicated that this message is the truth. He has vindicated that the prophet, the messenger that God chose before the foundation of the world, God's vindicated that He's right. With every kind of miracle, with every kind of situation, with every kind of circumstance, everything.
Amen.
See, when the truth of this Bible, believers have seen that vindicated. And the very vindication of it is the evidence that God is in it. See, absolutely. It's then that the promise word that God promised is made known. Huh? That's what's happened.
Right.
See, the seed is burst forth. And they see it. And they believe it. And others just can't see it. Somehow they'll sit and look at it. That's what Cain did. That's what so many do now.
Yes, sir.
They just look at it and they know there's something there. But they can't grasp it. They just can't get settled. Yeah, I realize that there's a supernatural cloud there. I realize the Bible said that He was going to take the book and reveal the book of redemption. That He was going to reveal the whole plan of redemption. I realize that in the New Testament is not like the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament everything was natural. But in the New Testament He began to speak to them of spiritual things. And those spiritual things that He began to tell them of, it's just like Paul telling the people that are sitting there listening to him preach that they're dead and their life is hid with Christ in God. And he's telling the same people that they have been translated into the kingdom of heaven. The people sitting in the church. Huh? Now, those people were of a sound mind. Right? So, those many of those people were not able to comprehend what Paul was saying. Because they were just coming out of the Old Testament, out of the law, out of those things. Everything was natural. You know, God fought their battles. God supplied for them. God did all those things. And now these men are talking spiritual things.
Yes, sir.
It was the same problem with the disciples. Jesus would speak to them in a parable, and then they would come and say, "Lord, we don't understand what you're saying." And they even told him, they said, "Lord, why don't you speak to the people plainly so they can understand?" What an awakening. What did he tell them? It's not given to them to understand.
That's right.
Does your Bible say that? Because that's what my Bible says. My Bible says that God was here revealing Himself in flesh. And that He did not speak to the people except by parables. And no other way. No other way. Without a parable spake He not unto them. And when His disciples came to learn what the parable meant, He explained to them that the revelation was for them and not for the churches. Not for the denominations. Not for the other people. That God had an elected people, predestinated before the foundation of the world, that He was revealing Himself to. Nobody else could get it. That seems hard, don't it? It just seems hard. That's the God. That's the God of creation. He's the one doing this. And if we've been believing this, He's been revealing His characteristics in every age, through every prophet, revealing Himself.
Amen.
Listen to this. Others just can't see it. See, somehow they'll sit and look at it. And you know, I've preached hard enough across this country that it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a short-haired woman in the country. Huh? Why? Because God sent a prophet that says it's a shame and a disgrace for a woman to cut her hair. That's right. So when God sends a prophet, and that prophet comes with, thus saith the Lord, this is what you should do and what you should not do. Then there shouldn't be. But he said it would get worse every year.
Yes, sir.
But every time when I come back, there's more. What's the matter? Mm-hmm. And you know, Brother Branham told the story one day. And I don't know if he got it in a vision or if he overheard it or somebody told him this. Said, but these people were still coming to church, right? They were coming to hear Brother Branham because they loved to see the miracles. They loved to see the supernatural. They loved these things. And even the preaching, was greater than any minister anywhere. Because he could take and type, he could look out there at nature and take that tree and type it all the way through the Bible.
Yes,
and he can type it with the death, burial, and resurrection. He could see God in everything that he looked at.
Yeah, right.
He had that gift. And so people loved that. He could tell that story about that eagle in the barnyard, and it just thrilled the hearts of the people. But what they didn't want was for you to touch their life. Huh?
That's right.
That's right. They didn't want to stop cutting their hair. They didn't want to stop going to the movies. They didn't want to stop drinking. They didn't want to stop cussing. They didn't want to stop wearing their tight clothes and short clothes and all of that other stuff. They didn't want to stop with their Christmas and with their Halloween and with their, all their other stuff, all their other junk. No. They don't want to get rid of none of that stuff. No. They want to be just like the world, but say they believe the message. You can't. You can't be the world and the message at the same time.
Amen.
There is a difference.
Yes, sir.
See, you say, oh, did I tell you? No, I didn't start telling the story and then I get off. This woman said, was telling another woman. She said, Brother Branham's coming. She said, so you better wear a hat because he's going to blast you cutting your hair. Mm-hmm. So you better wear a hat so he can't tell that you've been cutting your hair. They don't know what a prophet is. He's a discerner of the thoughts.
That's right.
He knows what you're thinking.
Yes,
you say it don't make any difference. It does make a difference.
Amen.
The Bible says it makes a difference.
That's right.
The prophet says it makes a difference. See? There's a brother said, I'm going to lay hands on you, Brother Branham. I love you.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, there was one place, I've read this many places, but I hadn't read it in a long time. But in one of those places, I think it was Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
Was it Oral Roberts that was talking to Brother Branham and said this to him? There's a fine brother said, I'm going to lay hands on you, Brother Branham. I love you. You're ruining your ministry. See? Said, you ain't got no business telling them women about that. Said, let the pastors do it. And it won't never get done with it. I said, they don't do it though. He said, well, that's not your business. You just pray for the sick. I said, whose business is it then? I was called to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Said, I'll lay hands on you and ask God to take it away from you. And I said, and you'll let me lay hands on you too. And I said, I pray that God will open your eyes and you'll see it.
Yes, sir.
So that it's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He said, you ought to preach. People believe that you're a servant, a prophet of God. He said, you ought to teach them women how to get great gifts and prophesy and things. Huh?
Yeah.
You see this carnal idea?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Everybody wants, they want a gift. They want to do this. They want to do that. But they don't want to die.
That's right.
He said, that's what's wrong today with the new birth. People don't want to die.
Amen.
You can't be born again. You cannot display Jesus Christ in your life until you die.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Let's read that again. You ought to teach those women to get great gifts and prophesying things. I said, how can I teach them algebra when they won't even believe the ABCs first? Huh? If we can't get our life in tune with God's Word, if our life, if we go out every day and we look like the world, and then we come to church and we pretend like that we're spiritual people. We're not.
That's right.
No. That's right. You can't do it, see? That's right. You just can't do the common thing. If you can't do the common things, how are you going to do the spiritual things? The natural things, see? How, if we can't get the natural life, the natural man in subjection. Remember, when you're born again, that the Christ in you is going to bring this flesh in subjection to the Word.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you're going to cut out all that worldly nonsense.
Amen.
This is what separates. This is what preachers hate to. This is, and I understand. Brother Branham said the pastors are not doing it. They're not doing it.
Right.
And the reason is, because they don't want nobody to go packing. They don't want nobody to leave. No preacher wants that. Huh? But we have an obligation to God.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's right.
You know, and this time of year, you know, you have Halloween, you have Thanksgiving, you have, you know, and if you, I've said the other day, Thanksgiving is the one time a year that is where the family comes together and they have a meal and they're thankful. But you can mess it up too.
Yes, sir.
You can mess it up too.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the only one, the basis of it. Mm-hmm. The basis of it is established in from the founding fathers.
Right.
Halloween, it came from witchcraft.
Yes, sir.
Christmas, it came from a lie.
Yes, sir.
And I know that Jeremiah, when he talks about them going out into the forest and cutting down a tree and bringing it back and decking it with gold and silver, and Jeremiah said, vain is the way of the heathen.
Yes, sir. Huh?
The unbelievers, the idol worshippers.
Yes, sir.
Vain is the way of the heathen. For one taketh an axe and they go into the forest and they cut down the tree and they bring it back and they deck it with gold and silver and ornaments and everything else. Huh? And they say it can't move. It's not living anymore. It's dead.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever they did in the church ages is one thing. But we got the fullness of the revelation today. And God has separated His people from every tradition and every creed and every dogma and everything else.
Yes, sir.
We are a separated people. And so it's I'm sorry that I'm the one who has to say it, that I don't like it. But I'm telling you, there's more messaged people today.
Yes, sir.
More messaged people today with Christmas trees and doing Christmas than that don't.
Right.
And it's a lie.
Yes, sir.
The whole thing's a lie.
Yes, sir.
Christ was not born on December 25th. And Saint Nicholas, part of it come from Germany, part of it come from somewhere else, part of it come from somewhere else. It's all of it. So, but everyone's got a right to do whatever they want to do. That's your right. Yeah. But you watch. You just watch. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you open the door for Satan to come in, then nothing matters.
Yep.
They just said, Brother Branham, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't see the problem. No, you don't. You know what Brother Branham said? He said, there's nothing in there to condemn you.
Right.
That's what he said. There's nothing in there to get condemned by. See? Now, certainly, brother, sister, it might sound like a joke, but it's the gospel. It's the gospel truth. That's right. See? Notice we find today people, there's just many people just can't believe it. See? Even spirit-filled people, are you listening now? Listen close to this. This is because it's a razor edge. This thing, this revelation, this truth, and false is a razor edge. Brother Bram said, this is the razor age. This is the razor age between right and wrong. See? You find people today, there's so many people that just can't believe it, even spirit-filled people. Huh? Spirit-filled people. That can't believe all the Word of God, all of this Bible. See? Now I'm going to give you one that'll choke you, see? The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. Not at all. See? Not on that. Don't have anything to do with your soul.
Right.
Now that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the soul.
Amen.
And there's a soul of the devil, and there's a soul of God.
Yes, sir.
And the soul is the nature of the Spirit. So you're born in the world with the nature of the world, the nature of Satan. And you can't help it. You're born a sinner. And the reason you're a sinner is because the nature of Satan is in you.
Right.
Now, there's not one person among us today that's bypassing that.
Right.
If you come by sex, you're born with the nature of Satan.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to tell you. You can water it down. You can make it more presentable. You can say, you have a nature of the world. You have a nature, you know, a carnal nature, or you can make it as pretty as you want to. It don't matter. It's the nature of Satan. See? But when you're born again, truly born again, see, not anointed,
This
baptism, anointing on your spirit, not that, but when you're truly born again, now the life of Christ, the nature of God is in you manifesting himself. That's the difference. See? The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. Not at all. Not on that. Don't have one thing to do with your soul. I'm going to say that now. We've read it twice. Now I'm going to say it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't have one thing to do with your soul. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Now either is thus saith the Lord or it's not true at all. It can't be wrong on one point. That's one thing we've got to agree on.
Yeah.
It can't be wrong on one point. This Bible right here cannot be wrong on one point, because if there's one point wrong, then it's not thus saith the Lord. God don't make mistakes. He didn't make any mistakes in this Bible. He don't make any mistakes in this message.
Amen.
See, don't have anything to do with your soul. That's the baptism. See, here's the inside soul in here. That has to come from God. That soul has to come from God.
Yes, sir.
See, but then on the outside you have five senses. See, inlets, five inlets to contact your earthly home. The inside you have a spirit. Now, just after the seals now, so he's got this down pat now.
Right.
It won't never, you go, once those seals open up, you find out there was a couple of things that God corrected. And I say God corrected. And one was that he was saying that there was five inlets to the soul. And another thing he was saying, and as the seventh angel messenger who stood just like Paul stood, and said, we see through a glass darkly. We see in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away.
Amen.
Our prophet said the same thing the apostle Paul said. And so, before the seals was revealed, he said, when you're born again, you get a new spirit. Is that right? You get a new spirit. After the seals opened up, he said, you don't get a new spirit. He said, you get a new nature.
That's right.
A new soul. You get a new soul.
Yes, sir.
On your spirit.
Amen.
Huh? That's God. That's God's nature.
Yeah.
That comes into you and now takes control of your spirit.
Amen.
Remember, that spirit in you can be baptized. Listen to this now. This is why you take this and put it together with what he's talking about, the baptism. This is revelation. This is, and he said it a lot in these last 2 months before he went off the scene. He nailed this thing down. He was already preaching it, but he nailed this thing down. He put all the details in there we needed to make this thing sure, positive, vindicated, and no doubt about it. Remember, in that spirit, this is why I keep saying, I've said it many times, in that spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine spirit of God and still be lost. In your spirit, you can have that baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit. You see that? That's why it don't matter. Because what matters is not what's happening with your spirit. It matters what's happening with your soul.
Yes, sir.
And when that soul of the world dies and the soul of God is quickened to life,
right,
then it brings your spirit in subjection to the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's the reason you can recognize a believer.
Yes.
Because they're living the Word. They're living, it's Jesus Christ in them living the Word.
Right.
They can't be anything else. See? Let's read that one more time. In that spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine Spirit of God and still be lost. It's the soul that lives. It's the soul that was ordained of God.
That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
Absolutely. Didn't Jesus say, many will come to me? He's back in the Bible again. Notice he's constantly going to the Bible. Constantly going to the Bible. Many will come to me in that day. What day? This day. This day. Jesus was pointing to this day, saying, Lord, haven't I cast out devils and done great and mighty works, prophesied the great gifts of God? He said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never even knew you. Many will come in that day. Have they come? Yes, they've come. They've come with the anointing. They've come with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. The true Spirit of God anointing their spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's not it.
That's right.
That's not it. It's the soul.
Amen.
That's eternal.
Amen.
Paragraph 102. Didn't Caiaphas prophesy? And he was a devil. And Judas? He was the son of perdition. What does that mean? The son of the devil. I remember many years ago talking about these things. Somebody so full of the devil and the things that they were doing were so far off the Word. And I'm talking about message preachers. Lying, cheating, stealing, backstabbing. Yeah, message preachers. And I was telling a brother, and I said, brother, I said, this is not God. I said, that's the devil. And a brother was telling me, this is a good brother. This is a really good brother. He's a really, really nice brother. He can help you. I don't care what he does. If he's a liar, and he's a cheat, and he's a thief, and he's a backstabber, that's the devil. No, I don't know if he's going to be born again or not. And I don't know. And I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what he's doing right now.
Yes, sir.
Is the devil.
That's right.
Amen.
And the brother told me, he said, you're on a slippery slope. So the next message I preached, I read a quote where Brother Branham said, Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces? 30 pieces of silver. Elvis Presley sold his soul for a fleet of Cadillacs. And Brother Branham said, he was raised in the Pentecostal church, he can sing his religious songs, and he's still a devil. And I read that quote. And that brother just looked me right dead in the eye. Listen.
Right.
We read right out of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Twice on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The love of God is not in you. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're not playing a game.
Amen.
It don't matter. We can get somebody to stand up here and spit sugar all over everybody.
Yep.
And it is not going to... It's not going to pay off when you die.
Right.
Not going to pay off.
Amen.
Only thing's going to help me is there's somebody to tell me the truth and me line up with that.
Right.
Only thing's going to help any of you is to know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And anything different is not going to work.
Yes, sir.
And that's the shame. That's the disgrace today.
Yep.
That's what Brother Branham said about the preachers today.
Mm-hmm.
They're too worried. They're too worried about the people coming and going. And so they're going to talk nice, so they're going to get more people. The only thing God is interested in is the predestinated seed.
Yes,
and if you're predestinated seed, then that's what's going to get. He's going to get it.
That's right.
And you know that you can't run them off.
Right.
You know, you can't get rid of them.
True.
No.
Right.
The Bible said, in Matthew 24, read it. Get right down there to the last verses. Where the carcass is, that's the word. That's the food. That's the meat. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles gather. Huh? Why? Because God predestinated them to gather around the word of God. God is going to make them. He's going to make them go there, wherever it's at. They might have to drive by 100 message churches.
Yes,
they're going to find somewhere where the meat's at.
Amen.
Not where the liar's at. Not where the preachers who only have a sweet little message, the only thing they're going to say to anybody. Didn't Caiaphas prophesy? He was a devil. And them priests... Them great men were supposed to be great leaders in them days with humility and everything else, but failed to see the Word of God itself made manifest before them.
Amen.
Brother Branham tried so hard to get them to see. He tried so hard to get Jack Moore. And he loved Jack Moore. And they traveled around the world together. And he tried so many times to get Jack Moore to see the presence of God. Brother Branham, with so much humility in his life, he didn't go around saying, I'm a prophet, I'm the one God's using, I'm this, I'm that. No, he never did that.
Right.
Never. He tried to get you to see God.
Yes, sir.
In what was being done.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you can't believe me, the man, believe the works. Brother Branham said, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen so much supernatural.
Yes.
They've seen so much supernatural of God telling them things that nobody knew, that interpreting dreams and prophesying and just visions and telling them all kinds of things until people would come to him.
Right.
And they'd say, Brother Branham, I had a dream. Tell me what it means.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm sorry. I don't have any idea what it means.
Right.
He said, I can't do it. He said, if God gives me your dream, he said, then I can tell you. He said, but don't think I can do that.
Right.
And he had people come to him. And they'd get something on their, that was bothering them, a dream or some, maybe they had vision, whatever they had, whatever it was. Maybe just an idea. And they'd come to him. And he'd say, I'm sorry, I don't know. I'll pray. I'll ask God to give it to me. And they'd call him. They'd call him the next day and the week later and a week later. And just keep on. He's saying, brother, I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I can't control this.
Yes,
Moses couldn't control it. Noah couldn't control it.
Right.
What if it would have started raining 50 years after Noah started building the ark? Huh? Just think.
Right. Right.
Lord, I've been working 50 years. God was in Noah.
Right.
So it couldn't rain until Noah was done.
Right.
And he preached for 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
God's in control of this thing. All of it. He's in control of your life. All of it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
172. But the real, ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ. I might bring the board on Wednesday. I just put all that out there. I want that to sink down. The real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
1965, December.
Yeah.
That soul of God was in God before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't created.
Amen.
It was in God.
Right.
A gene of God.
Yes, sir.
A germ of God.
Yes, sir.
A thought of God. An attribute of God.
Yes.
It's eternal.
Yes, sir.
A soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Remember. Huh? He's reminding you of something that you might not even have known since the foundation of the world.
Right.
You that's really God, the Spirit of God in you tonight. You were here in Christ because He was the fullness of the Word. We read this. Brother Bram told this more than one time. See? You were here in Christ because He was the fullness of the Word. You're part of the Word.
Amen.
Huh? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Do you believe that? Look, He was in Christ. Then, if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, huh? Before the foundation of the world. If you were, then you walked with Him here on the earth. You talked with Him on earth. You suffered with Him on earth. You died with Him at Calvary, and you rose with Him again. And now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, communing with Him.
Yes, sir.
So that's the same thing that Paul told his people, that they were right now, not going to in the future, they were right now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Same thing he told them. The only way we're going to understand is when we lose our carnal idea.
That's right.
When we let God come in and reveal Himself to us. That's the only way. This message and this Bible has to be spiritually revealed.
Right.
That's just all there is to it. There was churches on top of churches on top of churches believing there was a Messiah coming when Jesus came. All those denominations, when Jesus came, failed to recognize the very God that they claimed to believe. Every one of them. Not one of them. Not one denomination in Jesus' day believed that He was the Messiah. That He was the Son of God. Not one of them. You see what happens when we study the Bible and we see what has been happening over and over and over and over again from Genesis to Revelation? It's been the same thing. They killed the prophets. They rejected them. Every one of them was the voice of God, and every one of them was rejected by the people and by the churches. And the reason that prophet came was because the churches had got off into their own ideas. And now God, loving them, is saying, I'm going to send somebody and get them back on the Word. They claim they believe in the Bible, but they don't even know what the Bible is anymore. So I'm going to send a prophet, and the prophet's going to come tell them what the Bible says. Because it has to be spiritually discerned.
Right.
See? As long as Satan has them thinking that they can read it and understand it. And I realize there is an intellectual element that you can understand. You can read any book and have an intellectual understanding. But in order to have a spiritual understanding, you need to pray and ask God to give you that revelation. The prophet can't give it to you. The pastor can't give it to you. The missionary can't give it to you. Your mom can't give it to you. And your dad can't give it to you. Your neighbors can't give it to you. Nobody can give it to you. They can share the word. They can help you. They can give you a lot of great stuff. But nobody can give you revelation but God. Okay, and now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, communing with Him, the Word, as it feeds into your soul. That thing that was in Him before the foundation of the world. Yeah, it's feeding into that. See, man shall live by every word that proceedeth out. See, not the Methodist word, the Baptist word. See, not the Pharisee word, not the Sadducee word, not the Herodian word, the scribe word. No. No, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the prophet of God for the day that we live in. Yes. See? If there was any leftover in the sacrifice, it must be burned before morning. Because tomorrow's another church age. See? That's right. Exodus. It's true. A symbol, a type. Huh? You can't bring that old revelation over into this day. God is doing something new in every age. Every age. Listen to this. This is in the message, things that are to be. And this is really, he said some good things here. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you, see? If you still have the love of the world, you want to act like the world. You want to do like the world, see? Yet, you're in the church, but a cucklebur in the patch with the wheat, see? If you're sitting in the church and you still love the world and you act like the world, you live like the world, you talk like the world, you go to worldly places, huh?
Right.
But then you come sit in the church with the wheat. But a cucklebur in the patch, that's like saying you're a devil. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Huh? If you're going to live like the world and just pretend like God, that's a devil. See, a cucklebur in the patch with the wheat. Shout with the rest of them. Rejoice with the rest of them. All the spiritual blessings is right upon you, see? You say, well, I prophesy. So did Caiaphas. So did Balaam. That was nothing, see? You say, I got the baptism, see? The Holy Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it. This is a real eye-opener. Because I can remember many years ago when I first started seeing where he was talking about these things. And he says it over and over. You say, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, you can have it every hour. Every hour. But here, he said it in a different way. And when he says it this time, now it opens up a new understanding. It lets you see more clearly why it won't work today. See? I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it. That's just only a temporal gift for you. What was the baptism that was poured out 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost? It was a temporal gift. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was poured out upon your spirit, their spirit. See? And if they were a seed, a predestinated seed, elect, then they were able to receive the word for their day. And if they were just a church member, they got the same anointing. The same Holy Spirit came upon them too and anointed their spirit. And the Bible says, this one says, gifts and callings are without repentance. This Bible says that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The wheat and the tares. Both of them got anointed. Mm-hmm. Both of them got this temporal gift.
Yes, sir.
And this gift was what? An earnest.
Yes.
It was a down payment.
Amen.
Because the real thing was coming.
Right.
The real thing was coming.
Yes.
We thought that was the real thing. We found out it wasn't. It was the real spirit, but it was upon their spirit. But it was going to come on the soul. And that's the thing. Now, there's the real eternal life right there. Listen what he says. See, let's read that again because I'm going to keep throwing it out there as many times as I can. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it, see? That's just only a temporal gift for you. The real gift, huh? The real gift is your soul down in there, see? That was born of God. Is that right? Yes. It was born of God. It was a seed. It was a germ. It was a gene of God. It was down in there. There was another nature down in there. With that worldly nature, the predestinated, all the elect of God had another seed. And that seed was the Word. And that Word was the soul of God. And it was waiting to be quickened, waiting to be birthed, to bring to manifestation. And when it was, that nature of the world had to die. That soul of the world had to die so the soul of God could come to full manifestation. Praise be to God. The real gift is your soul down in there, see? That was born of God. That controls the whole thing. What does it do? What does? The soul. That soul of God controls the whole thing to the Word of God. See? And the will of God. Praise be to God. That's right. And there you grow up, see? Then you're a son and daughter of God. You're a child of God. And these things, see, like the mother now, when you're in the bowels of the earth trying to come forth, you're a son of God coming forth. You see the Word, I should do this. I should be born again. Well, I belong to church. Don't mean one thing. I'm Methodist. My mother, that's good for your mother, see? That was okay. Well, I'm Pentecostal. See, if you don't align with that Word, there's something wrong. If you don't line with the Word, then your real father isn't God.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Brother Branham said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost today is receiving the Word of the day that you live in.
That's right.
The evidence, the proof, the vindication.
Amen.
You want to know how, brother, somebody's a son or daughter of God? Watch their life. That's right. They'll believe every word. They're living it. You don't see them dressed like the world. You don't see them acting like the world. You don't see them out here in the worldly places doing worldly things. No. They're separated to God. See, if you don't line with that word, there's something wrong. See? You see, your real father ain't God. Because that real start in your soul, before there was even a spirit, it was your soul. Huh? The real start. What's the real start? Before the foundation of the world? In Him?
Right.
Yeah. When it was still a gene? When it's still a germ?
Yeah.
Yeah. A soul of God before the foundation of the world. See? Then your real father in God, because the real start in your soul before there was a spirit. Your spirit was created. But that soul was eternal.
Yes, sir.
Think about it now. Amen. This is the creation of God. This is of the 16 elements. This is going to die.
Yes, sir.
This was birth of your mother. But it's going to die. Inside of you, God created a spirit.
Yes, sir.
And that spirit had a nature. And that nature is one of two things. It's either Satan or it's God. And if you were a gene of God, a son and daughter of God before the foundation of the world, that soul came from God. See, because that real start in your soul, before there was even a spirit, it was your soul. That soul didn't come from God, then it wasn't a germ of God to begin with. You're deceived. You're in a patch of weeds bearing the world's record of the weeds coming forth, acting like the world and loving the world. It's because the love of God is not in you. See? That's right. And now, there'll be false anointed ones in the last days. Is that the Bible? Matthew chapter 24?
Right.
Huh? Many, many false prophets will come in the last days. How many true prophets are coming? Only one. And that's the nature of God. That's the characteristics of God all the way through the Bible. God only uses one at a time. Satan has many. Jezebel, Ahab, 400, 450. Always massive numbers. Massive numbers. Why? Because people will believe. The more people you get together to say something is true, the more believable it is. That's right. You get somebody to stand up here and tell a lie, and you can disagree. But you get 100 people up here and say the same lie. And oh man, you think, oh well. Not that many people's going to say it wrong. Oh yeah. According to this Bible. In this Bible, there was 400 prophets. And you know why they lied? Because a lying spirit came and deceived them. Yeah. A lying spirit came from the presence of God. Came to God and said, I can deceive them. Because God had determined that in the scripture that Ahab was going to die in the battle. And he said, so now I got to get somebody to make Ahab think he's going to win the battle. And a lying spirit comes up before God and says, I'll do it. And he said, well, how are you going to do it? He said, I'll be a lying spirit in his prophets. I'll get them to prophesy a lie. Ahab will believe it. And then the word of God will be fulfilled. Isn't that something? It's in there. It might sound tough, but it's in there. That's right. God's way. Does the Bible say God's ways are not our ways? That's right. Because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We were created for his purpose. That's right. People got this idea that God is there for your purpose. Whatever you want, whatever you say, whatever you need. That's people's idea. Does God heal you? Yeah, he will. Does God supply you? Yes, he will. He does all of that. But he does it on his terms. He does it in his timing. That's right. James said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You're not asking right. You ever hear somebody get up there and, God, I command you to do this or do that. Nonsense. You don't command God to do anything. That's like your child. That's like having a 3-year-old son and coming and saying, Daddy, I command you to take me to McDonald's. Do you think that's going to fly? No, it ain't going to fly. Might be a long time before you go to McDonald's. John 1:14, and now there be false anointed ones in the last days. Not false Jesus, huh? Not false Jesus, see? They wouldn't stand for that. False anointed. They are anointed, yes, sir, but they're antichrist, see? They're anointed with the Spirit to do signs and wonders that Christ did, but they won't line up with his word. Do you see how important this is?
Yes, sir.
They can have the gifts. They can have a powerful ministry. They can do everything but obey the word of God. That's right. That's what Cain couldn't do. He just couldn't obey the word. He could do everything else Abel did, but he couldn't obey the word. See, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have not I prophesied? Have not I cast out devils in your name? Huh? And he will say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. In case there's any who don't know what that means, let me just tell you. Because it was marvelous to me the first time I found it out. Because that word, knew. How can God not know anybody when he created everybody? God knows everybody. So how can this Bible that doesn't have any mistakes in it. It doesn't have any mistakes in here. And now it's saying, God is saying, I never knew you. That word, knew, is the same word in Genesis that says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son. You know what that word means? Relationship. It means relationship. I never had a relationship with you. There, that's the problem. Huh? That's why they couldn't receive the word. That's why they couldn't obey the word. Because they never had a relationship. When you get in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to obey. Huh?
That's right.
You can't separate that thing. That's the same thing God did in the natural. That's the reason why there's so much divorce today. Because there's not a head in the home. There has to be a head.
Amen.
And if the wife doesn't respect the husband as the head,
right,
it's never going to work. They'll never be peace. They'll never be happy. It'll always be a fuss. It'll always be a complaint. But when the wife is surrendered to the husband's will. Now, and you know, this is so easy to say and accept in the spiritual. Isn't it?
Yep.
Now, if I say we must obey Christ in everything, it's easy. Don't that feel good? Amen, amen, amen.
Yep.
But when you put it in the natural, now it just pricks a little bit, doesn't it? But the God in you, not the fear of your husband in you, the God in you will surrender you to your husband. It'll do it. It'll do it. Because that's the word of God. And that word of God is living in you. It's acting in you. It's obeying in you. Everything. If you're born again and you're a woman, you're going to express what this Bible says a woman will express. And if you're a man and you're born again, you're going to express what God said a man will do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I can remember a man and his wife, and this man was, he was wasteful with his money, and he didn't have much education. He was real simple. It was really just a hard time. And so, and the wife, so she was always watching over him and, trying to help him and everything. But, so he needed help. He really needed help because he didn't, he could impulse buy anything. He just, super nice guy, and he could just give it all away. And so that's how he was. And so, but I watched his wife. Okay? She didn't come in and try to take him over. She didn't come in and try to control him. She tried to have the conversation with him and say, "Hon, this is what we have. This is what our bills are. This is what we have need of. This is, you know." And so, she, under his leadership, she helped him where he needed help. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes God wants to do something, and the man don't want to do it. God told Abraham, and I got it here somewhere. God told Abraham to take Hagar. Sure did, didn't he? And did Abraham want to? No, he didn't, did he? Isn't that something? In a day when it was common for that man to have many, he didn't want it. That's something, isn't it? And she wanted him to. She wanted something greater. And he didn't want to do it. And God told him to do what she said. And you know, it happened more than once. God telling the man to listen to the woman. Isn't that something? Yep, when we are totally surrendered, then it... I just hit it and went all the way back. 114. Sorry. Still getting there. Man, we covered a lot of ground, haven't we? We're in modern events? We're almost to souls in prison. Okay. Okay, we're in things that are to be. Gotcha. Sorry. And we're right there, aren't we? All right. Many will come on that day. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. All right. Now, this is what I thought I was going to preach today on Wednesday, because I was reading and studying, and I was thinking about souls in prison. And so when we're talking about the soul, and that's what we were talking about on Wednesday too. Because when he said, if you love the world or the things of the world, he's talking about the soul. He's talking about the soul of the world and the soul of God. One of them loves the world and the other one loves God and has the love of God. So when the love of God's there, it brings you in subjection to the Word of God. You can't. There's nothing else. And it don't matter what we want. And this thing isn't specific. I know a lot of times, you know, we say, well, it's a lot easier for a man because he don't have to be in subjection. No, he does have to be in subjection. And sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's harder because the decision is on him. And I know some of you, sister, you've been down a rough road. And I know that. And I know. And God lets you go down that road. And God has a reason for that. And so, it's just there. But there's one place you can always bring it back. You can always, whatever the situation, whatever it is, you can always bring it back and put it back in the Word. But Brother Branham said that no matter what comes, that God is using that trial or that trouble or whatever it is you're going through, he's building a character.
Amen.
He's building a character in you. Maybe your husband will get his later. Maybe right now he's acting out. Maybe he's not doing right. Maybe he's carrying on. And maybe he don't deserve for you to be in subjection. But when you are obeying the Word of God, now God is duty bound, according to his Word, to see you through your situation. You can be sure that husband isn't going to get by. You might think, well, I'm the one sacrificing. I'm the one humbling myself. I'm the one. Yeah. Well, just do your part and God will get him just like he's getting you.
Amen.
You can be sure God gets every one of his.
Yes,
nobody gets by.
Right.
It's not, it's like somebody getting a blessing. You think, man, they always get the blessing. No? You see somebody in trials, everybody gets touched. Everybody. You're going to have your trials. You're going to get your blessings. You're going to have all of it.
Amen.
God is dealing with you individually. And you're answering to him individually.
That's right.
Every one of us. And sometimes we pass the test and sometimes we don't.
That's the truth.
But God don't. He's not going to quit. God's going to bring us through until we pass every test.
Amen.
Until he gets that character just like he is, because that's what you are.
Amen.
You are him on this earth.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to stop right there. And we'll ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to ask Brother Michael, maybe we could sing a song. And we missed our Swahili song today, didn't we? Bless you.
Reedy, and they sent me one for them to sing, and I'm more than glad to let you sing. If you feel like you still want to sing the song, we'll do it, or we can.
We'll sing together.
So. Okay, all right. We'll catch you up. I get up here and I just. try to just follow the leading, and sometimes, but I do, I enjoy the Swahili song, and it's good to us. But it made me think there, he was talking about, I used to, as a young Christian, and I used to think, you know, how could someone, you know, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit not being it. And I got to think, it's like, well, how could someone live so good? How could a woman or a man be, just walk down the line of what everything's required of them, and them not be the one? How could they? And it's just like, and he hit it. He's like, they came to him and said, have we not preached what you told us to preach? Had we not cast out devils? Had we not had these great miracles happen while we're there? And he never knew them. And it's not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It made me think, it's like, oh, it made click. It's like, well, it's because they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit on their spirit. And he was talking about the body, the spirit, and the soul, and the soul controlling it all. And so when you get baptized on your spirit, it controls the flesh, and it'll make that flesh look just like it. But if that soul doesn't get quickened, eventually that's going to fail. It'll come right down to the line, and you'll stand there. Well, did I not do everything? Did I not look? I look just like your son. I look just like your daughter. I did everything.
Amen.
No, you didn't have that soul. You didn't have me. It wasn't me doing this. It was just a temporal gift. And so, I don't even know. I didn't mean to get up here and say all this. it was. I realized that I was looking at other people. It's like, well, I was raising the message, and I see all these people, and I see them going away. But yet I've seen all these great things. I've seen them testify. I've seen them speak in tongues. I've seen them scream and shout. I've seen them quote. I've seen them preach. Mm-hmm. How could they go away?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at all them, and I was like,
yeah.
Are you doing the same thing? And that's what the question made me think. I remember having this question in my mind many, many years ago, or not many, many, but several years ago. I began to say, well, this one's doing this. Well, what are you doing? Quit looking at everybody else. Quit saying, well, this one done this one, this one. What are you doing? Are you just acting under the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Are you just acting it out and playing a part, or just doing it because, or have you come to that where he said that you've got to die. We've got to die spiritually, and we've got to die physically. But that old soul's got to die. And when it's quickened to life, it's the life and not just a baptism. I've been saying that right. It's not just a temporal gift, but then it's the life being made manifest. It's the life that's in the soul that's moving the spirit, that's moving the body. And it made me... It's just something that it brought to my remembrance many years ago, thinking about these things. And I don't want it to be a temporal gift. I don't want it to be just so I can talk or look good in a certain group. I don't want to be just playing a part. I want to be the part. I want to be Him. I hope that made sense. I don't know.
Amen.
I want to see He Set Me Free, if I can find it. That's what's happening, right? He set us free.
Amen.
Page 388.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly this morning we are set free, Lord. We're set free from a partial revelation into brought into a full revelation, Lord. We're set free from the worldly ties and the worldly acting, Lord, and we're set on a hill, a light, Lord, that if the world wants to see you, Lord, they have to see and look at the bride, Lord. Help us to realize that each and every day, Lord, and help us to realize that, Lord, it's got to be you doing it, Lord, and it's a continual sacrificing of oneself, Lord, a continual yielding to the revelation, Lord. Lord, we appreciate that this morning, Lord. We appreciate the message this morning, Lord, and Lord, how it brought back many memories as we begin to grow and walk this walk with you, Lord, and to realize, Lord, that it's been you holding our hands the whole time, Lord. And many times we stumble, Lord. Many times we've let you down, Lord, but like the brother said, that Lord, you're not going to lose a one of yours, Lord, and that you knew each and every one of them before the foundation of the world, Lord, and that you're just bringing them up each and every day, Lord. You're taking them one step at a time, Lord, and Lord, you're working on them individually, Lord, and some may be a little further down the path, Lord, and some may be a little bit further behind, Lord, but Lord, we're all one body, and we're all one mind, and we're all in one accord, Lord, and we appreciate that, Lord. Lord, be us as we go from this place. You know each heart, each need, Lord. We ask that you come on the scene for each one, Lord, and manifest what you have in your will for it, Lord. Lord, continue to be with Brother Goomba. Continue to anoint him in a great way, Lord. And Lord, may we ever recognize your presence, Lord, among us, Lord. For we know that there's not one time, there's not a moment in time, there's not ever an instant, Lord, that you're not right there with us, Lord. We love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.